الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers, come forward, huh? Come. Feel free, come close, inshallah. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. اللهم زدنا علما وحكمة وهدى وتقى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم صل على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome inshallah to this lesson inshallah in the sharh of the book بلوغ المرام من أدلة الأحكام by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. This is the translation from the, or some of the commentary from the ulama of Medina, Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim rahimahullah, and his shuyukh Shaykh Muhammad Amin Shanqiti, going back to the Prophet ﷺ. This is the laws of Allah pertaining to the sifa, or the description of the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ. So today, inshallah, we'll start a new hadith. Let's go together to the first hadith. قال المصنف رحمه الله وعن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه كان يقول سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. رواه مسلم بسند منقطع ورواه الدارقطني موصولا وموقوفا. So this hadith here, it's narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, who used to say سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, perfected is Allah, O Allah, and with praise. تبارك اسمك, your name is blessed. وَتَعَانَ جَدُّكَ, and your dignity is magnified. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, and there is no deity other than you. The hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim with a cover chain. So here, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is one of the wordings of the dua of istiftah. The dua of istiftah, or the opening prayer for the salawat. And the Prophet ﷺ had many different wordings for the dua of istiftah. We studied last time the dua where the Prophet ﷺ, he had given a dua which was اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب إلى الآخر الحديث. Oh Allah, separate between me and my sins the distance you separated from the east and the west. And then in this version here we have a different dua istiftah, and there's others. So did the Prophet ﷺ say all of these duas at one time, or did he say them sometimes one dua, sometimes another? Here the ulama, they say that a person, the Prophet ﷺ, the way that he said the du'as, all of them are acceptable, because the du'a istiftah is not an obligation. It's a sunnah, it's mustahab. So if somebody were to say one of them or add some of them together, this is okay and this is acceptable. Naam. And if he came with some of the du'a and he didn't recite the whole thing, this is also okay. And if he added to it, this is also, or if he completed it, this is also okay, and there's no harm in that. So let us look at the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Subhanakallah, or Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Subhanaka Allah wa bihamdik. Subhan. The word Subhan, in Arabic it means perfected or raised above imperfections, or being beyond imperfection. And the ulama, they mention that the word Subhan comes in the Quran in many different forms, or the meaning of the word Subhan. We have Sabbaha Lillah, we have Yusabbihu Lillah, we have Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. So we have the past tense Sabbaha lillah. We have the present tense, yusabbihu lillah. We have the fi'l amr, sabbih isma rabbika al-ala. So all three sigha, the past, the present, and the command form of this verb. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Also we have. And so, and we also have the tasbih, the perfecting of Allah, attributed to the angels. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, regarding the angels, and the lightning, He says that the thunder and the angels, they make tasbih with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, He makes tasbih about Himself. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes tasbih about Himself, and He says that everything in creation is making tasbih to Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything in creation is making tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, all of creation. Now, so what does tasbih mean? So here, the التسبيح معناه عظيم جدا كما قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان. The meaning of the word of tasbih is very huge, very very vast. The meaning of this word subbaha or tasbih, perfecting Allah, is very very vast. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are two words that are very heavy on the scales, but very light on the tongue, and very beloved to the Rahman. Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah Rabbil Azim. And in another narration, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillahi tamla al-mizan, wa Subhanallahi walhamdulillah tamla ani ma bayna samai wal ard. Alhamdulillah fills the scale, and Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah fill what is between the heavens and the earth. The meaning of Subhanallah fills what is between the heavens and the earth. So, would this great reward be for just saying the words with the tongue? Just by announcing the words with the tongue, does one get the reward of, does that, just the lafz of the speaking of that word fill what is in the heavens and earth? Actually, it's the meaning. It's the meaning is what fills the heavens in the earth. Now, so here, the tasbih. The fuqaha are the scholars of language that they say that letters, when you study the fiqh of language, the letters carry meaning. They say al-huruf qawalib al-ma'na. Qalib is like a boat. So the letters, they carry meaning within them. And so the letters may be few, but within it, it's carrying a great meaning. Now, so, and also the ulama say, when we try to understand the word tasbih, whenever you have two words that share most of their letters, there's a relationship in the meaning. In Arabic language, whenever you have two words that share the words, the letters that make them up, then there's a relationship in meaning. So sabbaha or subhan comes from sabaha. And sabaha yasbahu, it means that a person who is descending in the water and then he swims so that he doesn't drown. Sabaha yasbahu, it means swimming so that one does not drown. And here they say that in Arabic, the words, they're connected to their literal meaning before their spiritual or their metaphorical meaning. So the words, they start out with a physical meaning, and then the word branches its meaning to greater things. So here the sabaha means to somebody who's descending in water and he's swimming, so he stays afloat and he doesn't drown. And so likewise, since swimming, it saves a person from drowning. Sabaha for Allah, subhanallah, means to save oneself from attributing imperfections to Allah. And so by avoiding that, he saves himself from destruction. As if making imperfections with Allah is drowning, destruction. And sabaha, subhanallah, it means to perfect Allah. And so to deprive or deny Allah of any imperfections, and therefore one avoids destruction. Just like a swimmer, he avoids drowning and dying in the water. So they say there's a connection with the meaning of swimming and staying away from sinking in the water. Now, so sabbaha, what it means is to deny any attribute that is not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To deny any attribute that is not in accordance to the perfection and greatness of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Subhanallahi. Now, Subhanallah. So Subhanallah, it fills the what is between the heavens and the earth. Wa bihamdi. What is hamd? What is the translation of hamd? Praises to Allah. Well, we have, first of all, we have Alhamd, the Alif Lam. And here the Alif Lam, in Arabic they call that the Istighraq Al-Jins, meaning it completely encompasses the meaning of that word. Alif Lam, Alhamdu, means every form of Hamd. Not just Hamdun Lillah, which means praise to Allah. The correct translation, Alhamdu, all praises, all forms of praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so what is the difference between hamd and shukr? Yes.
Hamd is praising Allah and shukr is thanking Allah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah, is there's acknowledging Allah's inherent or intrinsic perfection. Qualities that are perfect within him. When somebody sees a mountain and they say this mountain is so beautiful, it's an inherent quality, he gives hamd to the mountain. But we don't say he gives shukr, he doesn't thank the mountain. Shukr is some good that somebody does to you, and then you thank him for that good action he did to you, not due to an intrinsic quality, but due to some good action he's done for you. Therefore the person, when he gets or receives this blessing or this goodness, he gives shukr. So shukr to Allah is when we get his blessings, then Allah says, "Wala in shakartum la azidannakum." When you thank me for my blessings, I give you more. But hamd, it is without even receiving any blessings, praising Allah due to his inherent perfection, his inherent beautiful qualities. This is the difference between hamd and shukr. There's a third word which is called sana. And sana, it refers to praising somebody for his good actions, even if it wasn't to befit oneself, but it benefited somebody else. He does something well, so they call that sana. Say there's a doctor who does his job well, somebody else's doctor, and you praise that doctor, that's called sana. It's not shukr, because he didn't do anything for you, but he did his job well, so that's called sana. It's not an inherent quality. That doctor might be a Jew or a Christian, he might not be Muslim, he might be a disbeliever in Allah, but the thing that he does it well. So then you praise him on that good thing that he does, or that ability that he has, and that's called sana. So all these things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu he also said, "Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah." Whoever does not thank the people, he does not truly thank Allah. So when a person they give thanks to people because of the good they did to them, then when they do that, then he's showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Subhanallah, it negates anything that is not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they call tanazzuh, an kulli naqsin wa'ib. And alhamdulillah is joined with it, which is saying that Allah has the perfect sifat and attributes, the most perfect. So these two words together, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, it fills what is between the heavens and the earth. They both actually summarize, or they contain the aspects of Tawheed. Subhanallah is recognizing Allah's perfection, and that recognition is one aspect of Tawheed. And Alhamdulillah is devoting one's prayer and praise to Allah. This is the other aspect of Tawheed. One aspect of Tawheed is praising Allah, worshipping Him alone, and the other aspect is recognizing His bounties and His perfection. So these two words together, they summarize Tawheed, and that, therefore, that is why they have such a heavy weight on the scale, and they fill what is between the heavens and the earth. Now we go to the next part of the du'a of istiftah of the salah, and the next part is وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. And your name is blessed. What is baraka? Baraka, it means ziyada, it means increasing, multiplying. So Allah's al-mubarak, tabarak ismuk, it means that His name is blessed. Now, if you have food that was blessed, then that means it has a lot of khayr, a lot of goodness in it. And the names of Allah, all of them are blessed. Every name of Allah. So if you ask Allah by any of His names, He will give you. His names, all of His names, Allah is bountiful. If you called on Him, He will answer you. So tabarak ismuk means His name, it is blessed. It is one that will bring the answer from Allah. Now, and Allah, He has many names: Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, so many different names. And these names, they all refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you call on them, there are so many blessings. Ar-Rahman, for example. The hadith of the Rahmah. If you may be familiar, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah created His mercy in 100 parts. And only one part He put in this world, and the other 99 parts He saved for the Day of Judgment. So that one part of Rahmah, if we look at this one name, just one part of His Rahmah, every creature on earth shows Rahmah to its children. The mother doesn't step on her child. All the mercy that we see in the world comes from this one part of the Rahmah. Even the Prophet ﷺ's Rahmah, وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Right, Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ, He is loving, He's kind and merciful to the believers. That Rahmah is from the one part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's 100 parts of Rahmah. Now, so the Prophet ﷺ, He has the mercy to the elderly, to the weak, and all of this mercy that we see is from the one part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So we can imagine the barakah, the blessing, the multiplication, if only this one part, it brings so much mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, what is the difference between Rahman and Rahim? What is the difference between these two? So in most of the books of Tafsir, when you read it, in the beginning it says Rahman is for the dunya and Rahim is for the mercy in the akhirah. Rahman is in this world temporary and Rahim is forever in the akhirah. Now, so here some of the ulama, they say the Rahmah is limited. The Rahman is for all of creation. The Rahim is only for the believers. Now, also, the mercy that Allah has, again, if we think about it, if His mercy extends to the Akhirah, and the Prophet ﷺ, he said, even the place where you put your your whip in Jannah is better than this whole dunya and whatever is in it. That's the place where you put down your whip. So if that little place in Jannah is better than all of this dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, 99 parts is in that world, in the akhirah, we cannot imagine the barakah, the blessings of His names. Naam, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And if you go to all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find barakah. Like for example, Hayy, the living. You find that all of the living things in this creation are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the Hayy, and He gives life to all things. And He makes it in an order. And He makes everything in a way, He provides everything for all of the creations and all that human beings need. Naam. So if we know that all of the names of Allah are blessed, then would we want to call on anyone other than Allah? If we know how much blessing each name of Allah has, would we call on anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ, and your status is magnified. Now, and here ta'ala, what does it mean ta'ala? Ta'ala means, again, to be raised up, to raise high and above any deficiency. So Allah's status is raised high and above any defects. Jadd, here some of the ulama say it means the portion or the giving of Allah. And Allah knows best. وَلَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرُكَ. So when a person, they say سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ, how perfected is Allah, and His praise and His names are blessed, and His status is above imperfection, then what is the natural result of that? لَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرُكَ. The person, he realizes there's no deity that could be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we understand the meaning of this dua. Now, so there's no object of worship. La ilah. Ilah means an object, a deity that is an object of worship. So nothing is sought in worship or deserves worship except Allah, the Lord. Now, okay, so let's go together to the next hadith. The next hadith. ونحوه عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه مرفوعا عند الخمسة وكان يقول بعد التكبير أعوذ بالله السميع العليم العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه أو نفثه. Okay, so here the author, he brings another one of the opening statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he brings multiple narrations of the dua of istiftah to show that it's an open and vast matter, and it's not restricted to this one wording. In fact, the ulama say it is from the matters of istihbab of the salah. It's not obligatory to say the opening dua, except one alim, one scholar, Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, he said that it's obligatory to say the dua of istiftah. But the other ulama, they agree that it is something that is from istihbab. No. So, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم. What does this refer to? We have the ayah in the Quran that is related to this statement. A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim. It means, I seek refuge in Allah, the hearing, the knowing, from the shaitan accursed, from his whispers, from his breathing or whispering, and his harming. So there's a verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And if the shaitan, he harms you, he gives you a whisper, then seek refuge in Allah. He is the hearing, the knowing. So when we say that Allah is the Sami', it means He hears these whispers. The shaitan, he whispers to a person, Allah hears that. It's not beyond Allah's hearing. And aneem means Allah knows the effect of the shaitan on that person. Naam. So no one can save us from these whispers and effects of the shaitan except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of power. Naam. And Shaykh Amin al-Shanqiti, he taught us, Shaykh Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah, he had a very beautiful teaching regarding protecting oneself from the shaitan of mankind and of jinn. And he said this is derived from the Quran. As for the shaitans of man, the shayateen al-ins, then how do we protect ourselves from their harm? The ulama, the shaykh, he mentioned that the verse where Allah says idfa billati hiya ahsan فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنُهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. When somebody has enmity towards you, then repel that enmity with goodness. And then the one who had enmity towards you will become your close friend and ally. So how do we repel the harm of people? People who have enmity towards us, we repel that harm by doing goodness, by ahsan, doing what is better. When you do that to somebody who has enmity towards you, it will change that enmity and cause it to become goodness. So this is the way we deal with shayateen ins, the devils of the human being. And what about the devils of the jinn? Then we seek refuge in Allah from their whispers. Now, and in some of the books, Shaykh, he mentioned that in the books you can find that some of the wise people, they used to do a lot of kindness, or they would, like they would call it, like tusana, you know, like kissing up, or be very nice to the rulers and the enemies. Actually, the people that were enemies to them, they would do so many nice things and flatter them. So it was said to them, do you do these good things to them? أَلَسْتَ بِمَصَانِعْتِهِمْ كَفَيْتَ شَرَّهُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى. And they were asked, when you do these nice things to your enemies, does it protect you from their harm? And they said, yes. When you do good to your enemy, it wards off their harm. Said, are you doing this only to stay away from their evil? They said, yeah. That's why we're doing it. And this is what one should do. Instead of going to war or fighting or engaging in a fight with the enemy, somebody who's an enemy to one, he can do good to him. He can do flattering to that person, and this will overwhelm them with peacefulness instead of with enmity and with fighting with power. You know, a person can overwhelm them with easiness instead of with power and strength. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The one between you and him is enmity, will be your close friend. No. And it's not easy to do that. It is not easy for one to do that. And not every person can do that or has the ability to do that. And this is what Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. No one will be able to do it except the ones who have sabr. They have the patience. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one will be able to do it except the one who has been given a great bounty. Yani Allah blesses him with that ability. Allah blesses one with patience and the wisdom to deal with enmity, with kindness, and repelling evil with what is better. This is sabr, and this is a blessing from Allah. And so Allah says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَكَ. If some of the shaitan harm you with a whisper or with a harm, then seek refuge in Allah. He is the hearing, the knowing. Now, and so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ. And the ulama, they say, this is also the saying of Imam Shafi'i, that every hadith is connected to an ayah in the Quran. every hadith you find it is connected somehow to the Quran. Now, so we say أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم, because we can't do good to the shaitan when he whispers to us, we can't be kind to him or flatter him, of course not, so we seek refuge in him. No. So Imam al-Shafi, he says this hadith, this dua of the Prophet ﷺ, when he started the prayer, I seek refuge in Allah, the hearing, the knowing from the whispers of the shaitan, his harm, he said this is a direct connection to the ayah that says when shaitan harms you, seek refuge in Allah from him. They're directly connected. But to see that connection between the hadith and the Quran, it takes the likes of Imam al-Shafi. It takes a great amount of knowledge to be able to connect the hadith to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Azim. Min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi. Now, so the hams and the nafkh and nafkh, these are all things that are related to the whispering and the doubtful things. Shaitan, he whispers and he makes a person doubtful. The hams and the nafakh, the blowing. And the nafas, nafatu the tha, this is the harming. Like a person getting possessed by the shaitan, the mas, if a person is possessed by the devil. And also bringing a person to do, bringing him into evil. This is from the works of the shaitan, and he does this in many ways and in many using many techniques. Okay, let's go together to the last hadith for today, inshallah. قَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ الْمُصَنِّفُ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَسْتَفْتِحُ الصَّلَاةَ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, وَكَانَ إِذَا رَكَى لَمْ يَشْخَصْ رَأْسَهُ وَلَمْ يَسُوبْ وَلَكِنْ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْعَالَ الْحَدِيثِ أَخْرَجُهُ مُسْلِمٌ. So here in this hadith of the mother of the believers, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to open the prayer with the takbir. Takbir and the recitation of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, so this hadith, it's part of a longer narration, and there's another hadith also which we covered previously about the man who prayed his prayer incorrectly, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, go back and pray, you haven't prayed. And then in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he described every step of the prayer, the standing, the ruku, the bowing. This hadith and that one together, they are considered the foundational hadith on how to perform the salah. How does one perform the salah correctly? And so the author, in his wisdom, he brought the hadith regarding the opening of the prayer and these du'as that have a great meaning, and how the state of mind a person should be when he enters into the prayer. And when he says Allahu Akbar, now he should be in the mind of meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he mentions, just like the adhan, when we hear the adhan for prayer, if a person, he's in the masjid or he's in the field or he's in the factory or he's in a store, wherever he is, he hears the adhan, what is he supposed to do? Before that, as soon as he hears Allahu Akbar, what should he say? Allahu Akbar. He should repeat after what he hears from the muezzin. And this is in order that one prepare themselves mentally to entering, to going to the prayer. Because a person is in the middle of the dunya. He's drowning, or he's completely engulfed in the worldly affairs. Working, buying, selling. And to go from that into salah, it requires a person to get ready for it. So repeating after Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than this work that I'm doing. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than my family. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than this dunya that I'm doing. When he repeats it, wherever he is, he acknowledges the greatness of Allah, and he prepares himself to enter into the prayer. And likewise the dua of istiftah, that when a person, they say these wordings, praising Allah, you know, seeking Allah's refuge from the whispers of the shaitan, then what happens is that person enters the prayer with a completely relaxed and pleased soul. So he's gotten away from his sins. He asks in some of the narrations, he seeks refuge from his sins. So when he enters in the takbir, Allahu Akbar, as if he's leaving his sins behind him. He's leaving his worldly concerns behind him, and he's preparing himself to enter and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get his mercy from him in that very great standing, that great position. Standing in prayer has such a great position. So it's not just dhikr for the sake of making dhikr when one says these opening du'as, but it's preparing the human being. So a person is not suddenly surprised. If you told somebody he's in the middle of the dunya, come, let's pray. Suddenly transferring from the dunya into the state of meeting with Allah, he's not ready for that transfer. It's too quickly to go right to the mihrab and to pray. So we make the dua, that we repeat the adhan, and then we make the dua, so that it's like an introduction, you know, an entrance. Now, and so he feels the greatness of Allah above everything else. And so when he throws his hands back, as if he's throwing everything behind him of the dunya, and he listens to the caller of Allah. Now, when he hears the adhan, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, ila akhirih, he turns to Allah, he makes wudu. And while he's making wudu, he's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thinking is changed. The whole mental process, the thinking is changed. And after he was busy with the money, the dollars, the dirhams, the coins, drowning in that, in his business, or in his worldly buying and selling, suddenly he's turning to Allah, facing Allah. He's turned the page to a different side, as if he is part of the masjid, and all of his sins are left behind when he enters the masjid. And then he enters in the speaking, the conversation, the intimate talk between him and Allah. So to increase this preparation in a practical way, we come with these du'as that are mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the author in the next coming ahadith, which is narrated by Umar al-Mu'min and Aisha, he begins to explain the actual steps that come in the prayer after the du'a of istiftah, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the lesson, inshallah. Any questions? If anybody has any questions, inshallah? If you ask a question and somebody learns something, you'll get the ajr for it, inshallah. Don't be shy, inshallah. Related to this topic of the salah, or even if there's a different, like a fiqh issue, we have about a few minutes, inshallah. Yes. Any fiqh issues, questions, inshallah? Brother. Yes, brother, hold on. Actually, the Shaykh, what he mentioned is that is it restricted? We have to use one particular siga, or can we use different siga? And he said you can use different ones on different occasions, or you can read part of it, or you can read the whole one, the whole du'a. No. You don't have to read, if you read part of it and the imam started reading and you stopped, this is okay. And if you read a different one on every prayer, like using different ones, different dua of istighfar, that's also okay. As for combining the two, maybe this is was not mentioned. This is not should not really recommended. Allahu a'lam. No. Yeah. The dua that we read last time, I believe was, some of the ulama say it was for Qiyam al-Layl. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya bayna al-mashriq kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wa al-maghrib. Allahumma naqini min khatayaya kama yinaqa thawb al-abyadu min al-danis wa namufsirni min khatayaya bil-ma'i wa thalji wal-barad. This was mentioned in that narration that it was in the night prayer. But the ulama say that it's okay to also recite that in the fara'id, inshallah. The one that that we read last time, the washing away of the sins. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Good question. Jazakallah khair. Brother Zaim, any questions? Alright. Brother Amr, you're wearing it. Khair, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Allah knows best.